Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled Choosing Sides. And we are looking at lessons that can be learned from the life of good King Jehoshaphat as found in 2 Chronicles. And we've been looking at the 18th chapter. Well, basically, it says in that chapter that Jehoshaphat joined affinity with Ahab, the king of Israel. Ahab requests for him to go to battle with him, and he agrees. He said, I'm just as you are. My people are your people. And then he requests for the word of the Lord. Ahab has his 400 prophets that are all in unity. They're prophesying the same thing. Go up, for the Lord is going to give them into your hand. And then Jehoshaphat apparently is not quite satisfied. He inquires further of King Ahab, are there any other prophets? And he said, there is one, Micaiah, who he did not care for. In fact, he said he hates him because he only prophesies bad things. And when the messenger is calling Micaiah to come, he said, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And you know, he had asked, well, what are they prophesying? And he's saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead because the battle's going to be given into Ahab's hand. And we want you to prophesy like everybody else. Let there be unity and one accord. However, verse 13, Micaiah says, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. Now, in today's religious world, they do not want you to upset their little apple cart. The church world today doesn't want you to preach against sin. I'm speaking now of the nominal churches. There are some churches, thank God, that are on fire. Their leaders are on fire for God. The people are seeking God and praying and fasting for needs for the nation. They're doing all that they know to do according to the Word of God. So obviously, I'm speaking in generalities, but unfortunately, there are large percentages of those who simply, they don't take the Word of God seriously. I don't know about you, but how many people do you know who claim to be Christian, but they're not going to church? Well, how do you get around that? Paul says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You know, they call themselves Christians, but they're serving God in the way that they choose. And so the church world, you know, doesn't want you to preach going all the way with God. Don't become fanatical. Some don't even know what faith is in so many places. They've heard about faith, but, you know, to them, faith is something you have when you join the church. Multitudes have never had a personal experience in Jesus Christ. There are millions of Americans in this nation who claim to be Christian, and yet they've never had a personal relationship with Jesus. They're still unsaved. You know, they have a form. They've got ritual. They've got programs. They've got, you know, all kinds of good things going on. They've got dogma, creeds, ecclesiastical functions, but they don't have the power of the Holy Ghost within them, because the Holy Ghost comes when you are born again. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. Beloved, I know some of you love God with all of your heart. You're always pressing in. You're wanting everything that God says that you can have in God's Word. But you'd be surprised at how many Christians could care less about having all that's in this book. They're satisfied. They're lukewarm. All they want, at best, is to be saved, get to heaven. That's really all they care about, and just let them live their lives, if you don't mind. They don't really care about what comes between here and there. They just want to get in. There's a hunger in the heart of a number of people, and some of you are listening, you're not satisfied with the status quo of watching the world die and go to hell. You're not satisfied with seeing the lame lame, and the blind blind, and the deaf deaf, and the dumb dumb, and the cancer ridden filled with cancer. When they hear the words of Jesus, who said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues." That's Mark 16 and 17. In Matthew 10, 18, it says, they'll even raise the dead. Well, you know, some of full gospel folks have forgotten about that. But beloved, if we're not seeing it, then what do we need to do to humble ourselves, to seek God so that we will have the power of God? But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that will I speak." And when he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered, "Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Now, on the surface, that looks and sounds like agreement, doesn't it? But I believe Micaiah said it in such a way, in such a tone, in such a manner, and his countenance portrayed what he was really thinking and feeling, that he was, you know, saying everything, but what he was literally said here, I mean, he said those words, but the real meaning was in their tone. You know, you can say something that apparently on the surface is what somebody wants to hear, but you know, he said, "Yes, go up and succeed," but he was mocking the prophets. He was mocking the prophets just like Elijah had done. He was mocking the prophets of Baal. You know, he said, you know, "Maybe your God's asleep. Just call a little louder. Keep trying. You know, he's bound to hear you sooner or later." But he said, Elijah said, "Let the God that be God, let him answer by fire." And old Elijah walked out there and he said, "Why don't you cut yourself a little bit? Maybe he'll hear you then." So Ahab looked down at him. This is Micaiah, looked over at Jehoshaphat, and he said unto Micaiah, "How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" You know, a lot of folks read down to verse 15, and you know, they stop there. And Micaiah said, he joined in with them too. He said, "All right, okay, there's, you know, what's wrong in compromising everything?" But in verse 17, actually, you know, let's read 16. He said, "I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains, as sheep that have no shepherd." His heart must have been breaking as the Lord revealed that to him. And the Lord said, "These have no master. Let them return therefore every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but only evil?" You know, this is what God showed the true prophet. And he did say he hated Micaiah, Ahab did, and he turned around and he said, "Can't you prophesy anything true to me?" He didn't really want to hear it, but there's something in the power of the prophet, which of course is the Spirit of God, which pulled the mask off Ahab. And so he was pushed into saying, "Tell me the truth in the name of the Lord. Tell me the truth." So Micaiah said, "Okay, you've got 400 out there that say go up, but I want to tell you in the name of the Lord that if you go on your own way and you go ahead and follow through with your own carnal fleshly allegiance with Jehoshaphat and you go up, this is what I see. I see all of Israel, not part of her, but all of Israel scattered on the mountain like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace." And so, you know, the devil can come to you and try to get you to compromise. You can be like Jehoshaphat, who perhaps meant well and said, "You know, my horses are like your horses. My people are like your people. I am as you are." Did he understand what he was saying? Didn't he understand what the allegiance and the choices that Ahab had made? Or, you know, you could be that one dissident voice that sees sin as sin, that calls darkness as darkness, that sees injustice as injustice, that sees unrighteousness as unrighteousness. Or so as not to be different. You can just flow along with the whole group. And beloved, there are multitudes today to the sorrow of God's heart, ministries today that are, people are all camping together, and they're still prophesying together, they're still saying the same thing. You know, they're still watering down the word of God and say, well, you know, we need to be tolerant. We need to embrace everybody. You know, there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the fivefold, that's not for today. There's no healing for today. There's no miracles. There's no prophets. There's no apostles. And, you don't need to speak in tongues. You know, that was for the early church. That's not true today. There's no such thing as the gift of prophecy. It died out with the early church. But the word says that then that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And when he comes in all of his power, when he comes in all of his glory, then that which is imperfect shall be done away with. You know, of course, Paul made the statement in 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 10, that, you know, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. He was saying, that when he made this statement, Jesus had already gone back to heaven. Though when that which is perfect is come, he made that remark after Jesus had already been here on earth. He was talking about the return of the Lord Jesus. He was talking about the second advent of the Lord Jesus, his second coming. He wasn't talking about Jesus coming the first time. He'd already been here and gone home. Paul met him personally on the road to Damascus one day, and when he met him, he was knocked off his horse when the Lord said, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" That's Acts the 9th chapter, verse 3. This is the same one who held the clothes of Stephen as they murdered him. Suddenly he met the Master face to face. And beloved, when you meet Jesus face to face, it changes you. It transforms you. Colossians says that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the dominion, and being translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Beloved, we need to choose sides today. We need to have Holy Ghost to discernment, to understand what the devil is trying to do to get good people to compromise in the name of love and unity. Well, I need to bring this broadcast to a close, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and I praise God for your prayer support and all you do to remember us in prayer. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.